Let's do a sound check. This is me talking.
This is me talking on our loyal level.
This is me talking.
Jason, you were the loudest. Me and Damon are on the same level.
Okay.
That was fine.
Oh.
That was not.
What if I get excited and I can't control the volume of my voice?
I found my thrill. On Blueberry Hill. On Blueberry Hill. When I found you.
What's up, Hoodat Nation? And thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a 1. Maybe a 2. I'm drinking the water 420. And it would appear that the prophecy might actually be true.
What?
And that the next savior is actually in the building. I mean, no other quarterback could have looked as good as Taysom Hill did against the Chargers' second and third string defense, right? Of course, it was nice to see Breeze knock a little rust off, ensuring Damon's fear of a slow start is less plausible, but still possible. And the defense continues to look good in the later part of the games, which begs the question, what could we expect from the first team defense in the regular season? We're going to talk about all this and more, so put your seatbelt on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'll go with a 1. I'm on my second transfusion. I went back to the old transfusion.
All right. That only took a week off.
Yeah, well, I had to just give it a little bit of rest.
All right.
But now I'm back! Just like Taysom Hill.
He was never there to begin with. To be
oh, he
back.
Was there, and then he was gone last week, and he's back!
Damon, welcome to the show. Watch your breathing heavy into the microphone. I'm hearing that. But how are you feeling?
I am definitely hearing that as well.
I'm feeling good, Jeff. I enjoy
it. It sounds like you're feeling maybe a little better than good.
All right, let's talk about the game recap. Are we starting with Taysom Hill? Or are we starting with Drew Brees? He played.
I would like to talk about the starters since they finally played. Cam Jordan played, Drew Brees played. Starting defense played for a while. Slow start. It's a little disappointing. The run defense was a little leaky. Or should I say very leaky? Considering they didn't even have Melvin Gordon. The backup, Eckler, I mean, he ran all over us the first drive. So that
Are
was
you concerned?
A little, was a little perturbed. The whole preseason umbrella, like, it's hard to judge preseason. It really is. Preseason is just so weird. No game planning. Yes, you do have starters playing, but kind of going through the motions. Don't want to get injured. It's just,
that's true.
It's hard. It's just very hard to judge preseason results.
Or it's hard to predict what the regular season is going to really be.
Sure. I mean, Cleveland went undefeated last year's preseason, right?
Although this is kind of like what Damon said about the 2009 season when we skull dragged Oakland in Game 3. We kind of gave the Chargers the business.
Our backups beat the fuck out of their backups. That's what it came down to.
Right. Our depth is really good, which will come in handy when everybody gets hurt.
We'll see how many players get picked up by the Pats.
Any concern over Drew Brees? Short underthrowing? What was it? The interception was kind of off?
It wasn't good, but I mean, I don't know. I've seen so many years of Breeze to not be worried. I mean, they did come back on the next drive, lead the team down and score, so.
But we needed a fourth. Needed a trick play to not go 3-and-out again.
Okay, well, whatever. They got it.
Whatever! They're the best ever! Doesn't matter that they were there from now on. Fuck punting on fourth down. Let's just go for it.
Trick play.
Every play. Whatever. Whatever!
Preseason.
Whatever.
What is your concern, Damon?
That we win 3-3-and-outs? Yeah, that'd be it.
You have a concern over that?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's
But wouldn't you rather have them in the preseason, like you said, instead of the slow start of the first few games of the regular season? They got it out of their system.
Is that how it works? Okay.
but then now it's out, so they don't need to play a game four. And we just
okay, they, right? They won't ever do it again. Perfect. One quarter of football. That's all they needed. Boom, we're ready. Super Bowl bound.
That's all Drew needs.
But again, that goes back to preseason. Like, you're not game planning anything. You're running your basic handoff off tackle. Curl. Mm-hmm. You know? It's at least they did come back and had a good drive, moved the ball, scored a touchdown.
So, Damon, you respect Deuce McAllister, right?
Right.
You respect his opinion as an analyst now, as a former player turned analyst.
As a former player, yeah.
Turned analyst.
I respect his opinion, yeah.
Okay. Well, he had tweeted, somebody had mentioned something about Drew Brees not playing. They sent it to us, and Deuce replied to that, saying that part of the reason Drew does not need to play in all these preseason games is because of A, his age, and you don't want him getting injured, and B, because those live practice run-throughs that they did with the Chargers all week was good enough.
Look, I said last week what my concern was. You look at the slow starts we're having. And again, it's more than not game planning for preseason. Yeah, I don't care if we win or lose in the preseason. But it's the timing and everything else that comes with playing quarterback and wide receiver. You know, I mean, we've heard our entire life, you know, timing and getting to know one another and feel one another. And you can't replicate a game speed anywhere else but a game. So I know that, you know, they went against the Chargers, joint practices last week. But nothing replicates a game. And again, Tom Brady, older than Drew Brees, he managed to get out there.
Yeah, but I don't think
Belichick thought it was relevant enough. He played more snaps in the preseason than Brees has.
But I don't know that he played this past week. He played a lot the week before, but I don't think he played this week. I know Aaron Rodgers didn't play this week. Or if he did, it was just a series. I mean, they're done. It's not like they got a ton more work than Brees. I thought Brees would go into halftime at least. I was a little surprised to see them take him out so early in the second quarter. I just figured, I mean, this is it for him.
Play to the half, and then that's it. Slow start they had, yeah. Now, if they'd have come out and scored on the first three drives, take him out.
Yeah, it's just the third drive.
First drive didn't count.
Why not?
No, I'm saying, if you're going to put Brees in,
oh, you mean he didn't
the ball
count,
off,
like,
and then he threw an interception. That doesn't count as for playing time.
Right, right, right. It's not like, yeah. It doesn't go against his pitch count, I guess.
Right.
Brees ball now.
I mean, I don't know. Considering the history of Brees, I'm
I'm not worried about what Brees can do. But again, it take there's practice for a reason. And I think, you know, preseason, you do two things. You get your timing and your feel as a team. But then for the coaches, they also have to evaluate all these players. And I feel some of these, some of these cuts are going to be tough. You know, there's going to be players that we let go that are going to make other roster.
Guaranteed. I mean, look, that's why Austin Carr played a lot with the first team this week. I was like, man, he's getting a lot of run. I mean, Meredith didn't even come in. Meredith played with the backups.
Right. You know, and that's, I wouldn't read anything into it. I'm just saying, I think, you know, right, Peyton wanted, okay, how does Carr do with the first string? So, I mean, that's an important part of preseason. Evaluation, again, in a game situation that you can't replicate anywhere else. There's only so many minutes. But I think Brees.
I would have liked to see him go play through the whole second quarter.
Right. And it's not about evaluating him. It's
knocking the rust
off your point that you made last week. And that's pretty much the point we're all circling around and beating a dead horse even.
Like I said, I'm not worried about Brees, you know, going, you know, later in the season. But again, just in the very beginning.
How do you think about Kamara and the offensive line?
I mean, I'm biased here, but we have one of the top, I'm going to be humble. We have, you know, the top one offensive line. You know. We're in the top one.
If that's true, it doesn't matter, and nothing else matters. You have the top offensive line with Drew Brees, Kamara, and Ingram in the backfield.
Tell you what, man, on a couple of those runs Kamara had, like, he looked even faster than last year, and I didn't even think that was possible.
I thought the same thing.
Like that one run where he kind of cut to the outside and got to, like, the 3 or 2 yard line. Like, he turned nothing into just, like, poof, poof, boom, he's gone. I'm like, jeez, woo, man.
Is that the one that Baldinger – tweeted.
Baldwinger loves our young Saints.
Yeah.
He did. Him and his crooked finger.
What are you saying?
How much better he's going to be this year thanks to the O-line.
But this wasn't even the line. This was just him. This is just him. Like, he just had this burst, this quickness, this speed. Like, because last year it just seemed like he was just effortless. Like, he wasn't even trying. He was just kind of, like, meandering around, but he breaks tackles and he does all this. But that one run on Saturday night, it was just – it was this speed. It's like, man, he just got to the outside and he was gone.
What do you think makes a player, and we have thousands of examples like this, a player like Kamara, where in Tennessee he was really nothing special. He wasn't even the starter. Then he comes into the NFL and he's a freaking, you know.
Sean Payton knows.
I mean, it has to be coaching. It has to be coaching.
Knowing how to use. I mean, look, Tom Brady, nothing at Michigan, nothing special. Hell, he went to, what, the seventh round? Then he gets to the NFL, and he's, you know, being talked about as the greatest. And look, it's an organization. It's your coaching. I mean, you know.
Right. I mean, look, if Breeze was in Brady's spot, Breeze would have all those rings.
Well, as far as rings go, no doubt.
Well, right. But, of course, you know, he's like, oh, he's the GOAT. And, Tom Brady is a really, really good quarterback. But he's had the best management, best coaches in the league. He hasn't been saddled with the worst defenses in the history like Breeze has.
Right. Well, the organization hadn't been saddled with, you know, crushing.
With Stanley Jean-Baptiste?
Yeah. Right. Well, that too. And look, I am cautiously, look, I mean, you know, I can't go into the season and say, oh, we're going 16-0 at Super Bowl. Ooh, you know, I mean.
No, that's for the next episode when we do bold predictions.
Right, you know. But, I mean, I am scared about, you know, the sophomore slump. But like you said with Kamara, I mean, it should, you know, if preseason is any indication, it sure doesn't look like, you know, he's going to have one.
I mean, really,
they had such a great year last year, Kamara and Lattimore. It's going to be tough to replicate it.
It is, but you've also got, I mean, you got Ramczyk going to get better. You've got Marcus Williams, the safety, going to get you know, because we have two of them.
Hey, Marcus Williams had himself a little pick six. Redemption.
No. Really? Yeah. I mean, the one thing that would give me pause is the run defense, because that was kind of an issue last year, and we thought we'd short it up. The linebackers, and you watched the game Saturday, and as good as I think Davis is going to be, one play where he took the wrong hole.
Oh, boy, my girlfriend hates when I do that.
That seems to be the worry spot. But I think the secondary is going to be fine. I think the pass rush should be okay. You got Hendrickson and then Davenport, his first game. He flashed a little bit.
What, he got a half a sack, a tackle for a loss.
And that one tackle on the running back on the end where like it looked like he over-pursued and he jumped back and grabbed him. Like that's just the freakish athleticism right there. But at least we saw something. I mean, it's good – it's a good sign to see that he produced something and he wasn't just a bum considering his first game. So that's encouraging.
No, it is. It is. Again, I mean, but I'm not expecting.
You're not expecting the world, but you would like to see something.
A contribution, not a dominance.
It was nice to, even though it was backups on backups, it was nice to kick ass. You know, that pick six was nice. The new Marcus Williams.
Redemption.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, again, that's always a positive when you're looking at, okay, well, right, and, you know, late in the game.
Damon, that's always
positive. No, I'm talking about when you're backup, you know, when backups are against backups, you know, second and third string, and you playing better than the other teams. I mean, it shows you have a little depth.
Now, you don't want your backups to be
slaughtered.
Auditioning for football follies.
Yeah, that was the Saints of the 70s and the 80s. Early 80s.
And the 60s. Late 60s. The late 1960s. Let's get into Look At Him Tweets. All right, our first tweet comes from Chris McGuire. He says, I know we're all starting with two, but the schedule after that is tougher. How many wins do you see us getting this season? I'm thinking 9-7 to 13-3.
Look, obviously 13-3 would be an exceptional year. We have a very, very tough schedule. 9-7 would be a disappointment. So I'll just stick with what we had last year. I mean, 11 wins, definitely double digits.
I think 11, 12 wins is a good, cautiously optimistic.
Right.
Jake? Yeah, that's probably about right. I know a couple weeks ago I was like, 13-3, 14-2, but
that run defense got you nervous.
Yeah, that run defense has me. I mean, hell, even, you know, I don't want to say, I mean, 10-6. 10-6 wouldn't be a bad record. It might be slightly disappointing, but
not with the division we're in and the schedule we're playing.
Right. Right.
I mean, the Eagles, Vikings, Panthers twice, Atlanta
10-6
twice.
10-6 has you on the road the whole
time. Oh, the Rams.
The Rams.
I mean, Ravens, Steelers.
Oof.
Yeah, it's tough.
Because we have a lot, we're going to have to be quick on these. Christian Mino says, with the trick play, Breeze, Kamara, and Taysom Hill's performance, what stood out most to you about our offense?
Boston Scott had a nice little game. I know everybody wants to say Taysom Hill because at some point we're going to talk about it, but I'll mention Boston Scott because that was my guy to get the carries in Ingram's absence. That was my prediction a few weeks ago. Now, of course, everybody was sucking off Jonathan Williams after last week, and he had done well enough to deserve some of that. This week he came crashing down there a little bit, but Boston Scott had some nice carries, so they're both going to be in the mix for those first 4 weeks. But I still like Scott. Sticking with him. He's my boy.
He's tiny.
Yeah.
You saw him compared to all those other players?
They did.
I mean, he's like 5'7".
Right. I mean, they were trying to compare him to Sproles, which, I mean,
Sproles is 5'5".
Right.
He's even bigger than Sproles.
I like the offensive line play. I am really excited about that. You know, we always talk about, you know, Drew Brees gives you 3 wins a year, no matter how bad our defense was or whatever. Man, a healthy, strong offensive line, shit, they give you 5 wins a year.
Yeah, I mean, look at Dallas. Now they've got injuries on their line, and then they look, oof.
Mm-hmm.
They're good, dog.
All right. Nick, NRG 314, says, do you think the Saints should go with Traquan Smith over Cameron Meredith? Smith looks ready to go, and Meredith, who doesn't have a single reception, played strictly with the backups. If Meredith is not fully healthy, I'd say they go with the kid.
Look, I mean, I think this coaching staff has shown in the past that they're not beholden to anybody. It's, you know, it's who's performing and who's contributing. So if they feel that way, you know.
I mean, Meredith's going to get every opportunity because of the money they're paying him. But Smith is going to be a big part of this offense for sure. I mean, you can just tell.
Did you see that catch Smith made at full speed?
No, I was not watching the game at all.
Well, it was impressive. You should have seen it. I mean, he's like a lightning bolt.
He's got good body control, good hands, big and physical. It just looks like we hit on another guy. He's not going to take over yet, but you could easily see by next year, like, he could be it's Michael Thomas and him are number two. But
right.
They're still going to use in Meredith. I mean, he is coming back. He would like to see more, and they are paying him money, but
don't rush him.
I'm not too worried at this point.
No. I still think we're head and shoulders above last year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You mean Willie
Sneed? Corpse gave you.
Do you think Willie Sneed or Traquan Smith?
Yeah. Now, come on. We loved Willie Sneed before last year.
Oh, yeah, but then he comes out and talks that shit he talked. So, fuck you.
Hey, we'll see him this year.
That's right. All right, so here's your time to talk about Taysom Hill because Greenbaum tweeted, how about a little love for Taysom Hill? And I will preface this with, or back this up with, Greenbaum has been one of those, Taysom Hill is the heir apparent. He's been on the Taysom Hill bandwagon, and I've enjoyed showing him how wrong he's been for the last several weeks. But I will tell you, Scott, this week, he kind of showed up. And if that's Taysom Hill that we can expect to get better and better when Drew Brees leaves, it might not be the horrible black hole of death that we expect it to be.
Jeff's on that Taysom Hill roller coaster.
Well, I'm not saying Taysom Hill's going to be the next Drew Brees.
Well, nobody's going to be the next
Drew Brees. Or not even the next Donovan McNabb.
But Courtney has been texting me as well. He said, look, he'd be willing to give Hill all the chances and all the reps whenever
time comes.
Look, we know what Savage is. And, look, Hill has had its ups and downs, but with more reps, he is going to get a little better. I'll say this for him, at least he's exciting. I'm not going to go ahead and say he is the successor to Brees yet. I mean, he's got some potential, but it's way too early. He needs a lot more reps.
And that's bad.
That's all.
That's right. That's where he's at. You know, I've heard the announcer say that Peyton compared him to a young Tony Romo. And there's no doubt that Hill is an athletic. I mean, that's not even in question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe last week, game two in the Dome, where he started and he had, you know, we went on about it, you know.
Last he had a little bubble guts.
Right. He dropped the ball twice, which was really his fault. One pick wasn't his, you know. But it may be right. He had a little nerves, you know, first time, you know, putting a little pressure on himself. I mean, obviously the man played quarterback at BYU. I mean, I would hope that he would know how to hand the ball off and not fumble it. And then, you know, the second fumble, and it was a sack fumble. And look, if that's the Drew Brees or even a Savvy veterans, you know, they're 1, 2, 3, and they're protecting the ball more, or they're going to get rid of it. Where, you know, it seemed, you know, last week when he took that sack and against the Cardinals and it came loose, you know, he's trying to make something happen. You know, he's trying, you know, to impress. And he just held on to the ball a little bit, you know, a little long. And the defense got to him. And again, I think that'll come, you know, I think that's nothing.
We'll definitely get better with Russ, but so I've got a question for you. So let's say that the Saints only keep two quarterbacks and Hill is the backup. Does he still play as much on special teams?
No.
But he is a very, very good special teams player.
This guy is fucking stupid.
Doesn't matter. He's not backup, irreplaceable on special teams, but he is irreplaceable in the backup QB position.
Yeah, but you could always... I mean, look, we know if Brees goes down, we're fucked anyway, but you could always call...
I don't know. You could always call Savage. Against the third-string Chargers defense, he could very well lead us to another Super Bowl.
But if Taysom Hill helps you on special teams, are you just going to not have him play special teams this year just because he's the backup and he's never going to take a snap?
How many other backup QBs have you seen play on special teams?
Right. If there's no other quarterback on the roster, no, he's not playing special teams. Get out of here.
It's irresponsible.
It's living dangerously, and at this point, I like it.
Oh, fuck you.
Come on, coach. Don't be Grandpa Sean. Be asshole Sean. Live dangerously.
Yeah.
Play your fucking backup quarterback on special teams.
Okay, so...
He's a monster.
Is he run first... Or at least scan, nobody's open within the first 3 seconds, and then my next instinct is to run, which makes him a running quarterback, not a quarterback who can run. Like, Steve Young was a quarterback who could run. Taysom Hill, if he is a Michael Vick mentality of run first, I don't like it. We've talked for years about how Russell Wilson wasn't going to last because he was a running quarterback. Michael Vick, RG3. Look, there's a history of the quarterbacks who are actually just running backs who can throw. And I don't want that. I don't want the Saints to fall into that trap. And sometimes I worry that that's what Taysom Hill is.
Well, he did, on his touchdown run, he did go through his progressions first before deciding to run the ball. So I'm sure his instinct, and you saw it in the second game, his instinct was to run, but I'm sure they're teaching him to go through your progressions first, and at
But
worst
Drew
case
Brees
scenarios
goes through his progressions three times and never
right,
runs.
But that's Drew Brees. You can't compare the two. That's an all-time great quarterback who's also
I know, it's
athlete,
like, I know, it's like, yeah,
like
he's
that.
The best in the history of the game. I mean, why would you want to be like that?
Just, look, that's his
nature. Let's just go run. Let's just have six running backs back there.
Start a revolution. Why not?
Because it doesn't win. You've and they only last 3 years.
Yeah, Russell Wilson's lasted longer.
He was relevant for 3 years.
No, Russell Wasn't one of the better.
Right, Russell Wilson.
Oh, Damon, are you serious?
Jeff, he was the stop guy being an idiot.
Who got like on Russell Wilson's fuck this guy train for years while he was relevant, saying how garbage he was and how he's running and wasn't going to work. Now you're going to defend him?
Well, no, he turned and he has. Earlier in his career, he would run more than he does now. It happens to most quarterbacks.
And that's why he's not relevant anymore, because he's not running.
No, he's actually a better quarterback. He's a quarterback. That's, you know.
Oh, so you're actually agreeing with my point, that you want a guy who's a quarterback.
100%.
So Taysom Hill is a running back who can throw, or is he a quarterback who can run?
He's a quarterback who can run. But again, I feel, though, you know, the younger the quarterback who can run, he depends on his feet too much first, you know, and it takes a little bit of, you know, savvy veteran. Like we talked, you know, someone mentioned Steve Young earlier. Steve Young wasn't a runner. He was a scrambler. He would, before he would take off down the field, he would scramble. You know, he'd kind of go back and forth in the backfield, see if someone got open, then he would take off. And look, if you watched Russell Wilson over the last, you know, several years, he runs less today than he did when he was a rookie. And that just comes with maturity and knowing, you know, feeling comfortable with your game. And, it, you know, the game will slow down for Hill. It will. You know, so, yeah. I'm optimistic for him. Optimistic. If he has to start this year, we're screwed.
Yeah. You
know? Like Jason said, anyone other than the initial DB,
Dirty
we're
bastard.
Screwed. Yeah, ODB.
Saints Europe. There's a bit of a conversation between a few people. But, all right, so Saints Europe says Traquan is the Saints number two at this moment.
I mean,
no
technically
question
it's still Ginn.
Hold on. Let them give their opinion. He will be there when we trade Thomas to step up into the number one role. Saints ain't got the money to pay Thomas. Enjoy this year with the both of them. To which Nick said, wouldn't Ted Ginn be the second receiver, especially with the career year he had last season? But I think you're getting ahead of yourself with Thomas not being a Saint. There's absolutely no way they'd trade him at worst. They'll use multiple franchise tags on him.
I mean, I kind of see where they're coming from. Other than Colston, they've kind of been willing to let guys come in, play with Breeze. Breeze elevates them, and then they don't pay him. But, you know, Breeze ain't going to be around forever. If it's only going to be another couple of years, I think Thomas is different than everybody else. I know they normally don't pay pass catchers, or at least they might pay him and then jettison him. For some reason, I think Thomas is going to be different, and they keep him around. Especially when Breeze leaves and you're going to need Michael Thomas to help whoever is quarterbacking back there. Damn. I mean, I think Thomas is the best receiver that Breeze has ever played with.
Better than Colston?
Look, I'm not disrespecting Colston at all, but I think Michael Thomas is better than Colston.
Maybe we got the tweet because of Odell Beckham's
massive deal today.
Right, right. And Michael Thomas is going to be paid. You know, it's nice to have, you know, it would be nice. I do think Michael Thomas is the best receiver that Drew Brees have had. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think you have to pay somebody sometime.
We're not paying tight ends.
No.
Got to pay a pass catcher. But, I mean, I think you're going to need Thomas for whoever's quarterbacking this team next. You know, if you want to have any level of sustained success and not bottom out for a few before coming back. But I think he's here. I think it'll be him and Smith for a while. Right. It's going to be a nice duo.
And I don't think, maybe I'm wrong, I don't think he'll be the highest paid receiver in football.
No, but I do think because he wasn't a first round pick, they don't have that extra fifth year to keep him at a reasonable value. They would be wise assuming he has a season like we think he's going to have, they would be wise to try to lock him up after this season, not the following season, even though we know that's usually not the way that Saints operate.
So we got to get Nick and RG on the show soon. I mean, he's half the tweet was him and other people talking. I mean, if anything, Nick, maybe you ought to be our social media manager.
I thought that was going to be Luke.
Right. Well, where is he?
I don't know. In college.
Right.
He's playing beer pong.
Yeah, that's what we get for relying on a college kid.
Yeah. He cares about the podcast, not at all.
All right.
Tell me, get a Discord account.
That's right. We're on Discord now, folks. Send us your Discord name, and we'll add you to our server, and we'll eventually be doing maybe some live shows where you can all participate. All right, so let's move on to the next tweet, though. Let's see. A lot of people kind of really, at this point, the conversation turned to, you know, the starting off 2-0 or getting caught. I think, Damon, maybe it's all in response to your comments last week about the slow start, sputter start history, but that there's no way we don't start 2-0 this year.
I mean, I feel very confident as well, but it's like almost like shit. You can't, it's the NFL, you can't overlook teams. But it's hard not to feel confident when you got Tampa and Cleveland, and they're both at home. It's just, man, I remember how confident we were when we went to Cleveland a few years ago to open the season, and we almost went, and it was like, what?
Look, the Cleveland team that we faced the first game will not be the same Cleveland team that ended last year. New players, new assistant coaches, hell, a team that really has nothing to lose and everything to prove, you know? I mean, they're just looking to win a game.
Now, I will say what we have in our favor is Peyton going against Greg Williams, and he is going to rub that shit in.
Well, it didn't seem to help us last year when we played him with the Rams.
He wasn't with the Rams last year.
He wasn't? Where was
he? Wade Phillips. Wade Phillips always has our number. Wade Phillips was Jeff Fisher got fired. Remember? Fisher wasn't the coach last year.
Right.
And the year before, the last time he faced Greg Williams, he lit up the scoreboard. And I think that's the one saving grace is that I have every confidence that Peyton is going to stick it to Greg.
All right. He always
so never does. Mind. Fuck yes. We're going to it.
And I'm laughing at that, but I'm also laughing at Dr. Huda, who tweeted, holy shit, just unearthed it. They were talking about the video podcast.
Christmas video on YouTube.
Yeah. Just unearthed the Christmas special. 2012, and never really knowing what either of the other guys look like, I'm actually shocked at how young Damon is, / looks. Honest to God, I always pictured him as the attached photo. And it's like a grumpy old white dude.
It's like a 6-year-old man.
Well, you know, he's the second one. Some other guy tweeted or text or whatever. He thought I was an old black man.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Either way, you're old and grumpy, Damon.
He's older than the two of us.
That's all we got for looking at them tweets. Like I consolidated a lot of tweets into general topics of conversation. So now we can move on to Saints preview. All right, so the Saints are hosting the Rams Thursday night, 7 p.m. Central Time, and nobody's going to play. Right, who's watching the game? Is anybody even going to watch?
I'll check it out. Damon, I guess, will be in the seats. I'll check it out.
I'll go.
I mean, what else am I going to watch on a Thursday night?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'm asking why you don't go on a Thursday living in Slidell now. So.
And I'm going to be working. I got to figure out how to deal with traffic coming in and when I leave
the fourth game in preseason, we all know this, is really, from a fan standpoint of view, much to see here.
Now, Art, I know there's been some, I guess not with us, but I know some other teams, obviously the Falcons, but I thought I saw somewhere else some other teams are experimenting with lower concession prices, and I take it we're not doing that.
No, we're not doing that. Last, speaking of lower concession prices.
Oh, shit.
How much do you think two hot dogs, nothing special, just regular hot dogs.
Right.
A hamburger and I would call a medium Coke, not a souvenir. So two hot dogs, a hamburger, and a Coca-Cola cost you?
I know what it should cost, but I would say in the dome, like $23.
Wrong. Jeff?
$8, $10. Anywhere between $8 and $10.
$29. $30.
Wow.
That hot dog better make me shit gold the next day.
I mean, it's a good hot dog. It's a good hamburger. I enjoyed it. But, yeah, $30. And I had went there, and I ordered two hot dogs and a Coke. And I'm standing in line, and the guy says, $29. I'm thinking, God, that seems high. You know, and I say, man, I said, you got that right? And, oh, there was a hamburger on the screen. Oh, I can't get... I can't delete it. I can't, you know.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, you fell for that? He fucking upsold your ass.
Wow.
So I just said, well, give me the hamburger.
Fat ass.
I mean, a hamburger is it's delicious. It was delicious.
Wow.
You know.
I'll say, when I was a kid, I used to love the big, long, the Superdome dogs, and I put the chili on them, and yeah, they were good.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't usually eat it. I like to get a big breakfast beforehand and don't eat at the games.
Yeah, just drink.
That's it.
Well,
up a flask because even drinks are so fucking expensive.
Right. You know. In the club section, they do have some nice alternatives that are relatively reasonable. You know, they have a Copeland section that has always has a chicken pasta dish that's outstanding. And they have a...
We're sitting here on the podcast
talking about
food in the dome instead of the game itself, which only goes irrelevant.
Fourth preseason game. We're talking. I don't know who's playing. I don't know anybody on any of these teams. Who are?
I wouldn't think there's going to be any starters. Right. I know. I think there was a Twitter question, either Ash or Sage said, "Are there any starters that you would want to play this game?
If anything,
maybe some linebackers, but that's it."
Right, and I mean, I think. You know, you'll get some linemen playing just because I think.
I don't think you're going to get any of our starting, at least offensive linemen. Maybe if they want to give Pete Ingram, some snaps because he hadn't played a lot.
So then we have.
I think Ingram's going to play. I don't know. You don't want to tire Williams out, you know, because he's going to be the.
Or Scott. But I mean, there is the running back battle. Don't they want to see those guys? Maybe they get more carries.
Unless they've already. I don't know. I think they've already
unless
made,
they made a decision. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would think so. I don't know. From what little I've seen, obviously I haven't seen as much of the coaches, but I think Williams is more your Ingram type back.
All right. So then let's wrap up the game preview, Saints preview, and actually spend the next few minutes maybe promoting and talking up the upcoming episode, which is the crossover episode with the UK Saints podcast.
Put another shrimp on the Barbie.
No, that's .au.
Oh, okay.
This is .eu.
Yeah. We're going to record on Saturday. So between now and then, everybody, send us any tweets that you might want to ask during the show.
Neil, send your tweets to us because you're our boy, not theirs.
That's right. Okay. Is there anything else to say about it? I mean, what are you guys? Are you looking forward to this?
Oh, I'm definitely looking forward to it. Like I said, I've been a fan of theirs over the last year. Listened to all their podcasts.
I'm looking forward to hearing Damon and Ash have a conversation together.
Just want to put them both in a room,
right?
And
just
see what happens.
Right. Yeah.
Look, I don't know if I mentioned on the podcast, but I know I've talked to it with Doug. You know, I'm just curious how they became Saints fans. And I forget who now, but I knew it last year when I was listening to I was catching up on their podcast. They were fans before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know. Maybe it was like one of them came to a game here before, like Aaron Brooks was QBN.
Right, before the Super Bowl. Right. Yeah. Before Katrina. Right. I find that fascinating, you know.
That someone could be a Saints fan.
Right. Well. Look, I think
before 2006.
Right. I think I've said this on the podcast before, and I'm not a Saints fan. I'm a New Orleans fan. Okay, and the reasons are obvious. I mean, I'm born and raised here. You know, the Saints go to San Antonio, and that's not going to happen. But you know, hypothetically, I'm not a San Antonio Saints fan. I'm a New Orleans fan. Whatever you put New Orleans in front of it, and I'm a fan. They represent my city.
Right.
our city. They represent us. And to a larger extent, you know, the Gulf South, Mississippi, parts of Alabama, the panhandle of Florida, you know, that's us, man. That's our culture, you know. Red beans and rice on Mondays. Couchon delays, Mardi Gras, King Cakes, Hoghead Cheese, you know.
Hootenanny Cracklin', Andouille.
Right. You know, that us. So that's why I'm a saint. That's why I'm a diehard. I love this, you know, I love the air. And if you listen to them, man, they're talking about LSU. They're talking about the Pelicans. You know, I mean, so.
It's like
they're from
Louisiana.
France, not New Orleans.
Right. But again, right. But they bought into the same thing that we, you know. Oh, if you're a Saints fan, then you're an LSU fan. Then you're a Pelicans. You know, I mean, they've bought into the city too, right? I mean, you all feel that way when you listen to them talk?
I figure if they're a Saints fan, they may as well be a Pels and LSU fan. No need to be a.
Right.
In another area.
Right. Well, you know, some people, you know, would be.
But the question of why?
Right.
Because they could throw a dart on a dartboard. It's like if you were to pick a soccer team to become a fan of, you have no reason to choose one city over another. So see, I can only follow one miserable team.
Right. You know, so anyway, so again, so I want to ask them that. Not ritual, but you know, what do they have to go through to keep up with the season and stuff like that? And you hear
they
got to
get like the game cast. I know they get the season tickets
right.
When the games come over.
Right.
And I know they always talk, there's some nonsense going on and how much a pain in the ass it is to deal with that.
Right, you know, so how much, you know, I mean, they really put in a lot of effort to keep in touch and, you know, or to follow this football team. They fly across the ocean to come to a Saints game. I bitch driving from La Place, you know. No, I've been doing it for 29 years, you know, so that's.
We did drive 13 hours to get to Kansas City.
No, we did.
We probably should have just flown.
I thought
it was a fine drive. If we'd have won, it would have not felt as bad.
Right. Well, with Jeff driving, it was only an 8-hour
drive. Are you saying a speed?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I'm not complaining.
No, it was nice. but like I said, no, I'm really excited about, you know, like you said, you know, talking with them, asking them questions, you know.
It'll be interesting to see if we understand each other, because I will say, like, their accents, even though we're all speaking English.
Yeah.
Their accents sometimes are tough to understand.
Definitely. Did you know?
Because they don't speak proper English.
No, they don't. And did you know? this is a fact. You can look at a linguist. Like back in, you know, the 1700s when, you know, we had to kick them out of the continental United States, the English accent was more the American accent of what we have today. Than what they we didn't sound like them, you know how they sound today with that accent. Yep. Their accent has actually changed over the last 100 years, more so than ours. Again, that's linguist. That is a fact.
Yeah, but it's weird with dialects because, like, yeah, we speak English here, but there's so many different variations of English here and just in America. I mean, we sound different than people in Chicago. I mean, look, everybody's got different dialects everywhere.
But again,
other thing is the fact that this is the last episode before the regular season starts on our show in particular, we're going to have to force them to run through some bold predictions, some season record predictions.
Hey, look, we're the old guys.
We have a bit of a tradition for what our show before the season starts is.
We're the old guys on the block. We get to take a little control of it, just a little bit.
Yeah, they're joining our show. Is that what you're saying? Not
sure.
Us joining
we're
our show.
No. We're Arrow, they're Supergirl.
I can't wait to hear what Ash says about that.
It's no disrespect. It was just one show's been on the air for 7 years, one's been on it for 2 years.
I don't know. I think we'd go into it and we maybe do
actually,
some
yeah,
people, because if we are going to do it the way we said we're going to do it, where half the...
Yeah, we're going to alternate.
Half the show is on our show and the other half is on their show.
I like that. I like that
I do
idea.
Like that, yeah.
Then maybe we do a little bit of a shared control where... The part that's ours is on our show. Yeah. The part that's theirs.
Well, you know what? You and Ben are the host. That's y'all's job. Y'all can figure it out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ben, great. I will say, like, I think Ben, like their Dome Patrol counterpart, the host is probably the best part of the show.
So, you know, you're right. Look, you and Ben, like, you know, right, the other counterpart, Ash and I, you know, the counterpart, kind of tell it like it is. And...
Oh, did he Matrix out?
You're
Matrix in for a second.
Oh, well, okay. How about now?
That's not your mouth, of course.
Okay. Like, Ben and Jeff, Ryan and Jason, they're not really, you know, they don't fall into.
See? He's Matrix in when he's trying to make a point.
Ryan,
I have to hear it.
Yep. It just will not let him do it. I love it. We are the best, Jeff. See? Even the computer knows it.
What happened, Barry?
I don't know. Damon was Matrix, and then we didn't hear you. I thought you lost it.
Did he make his point?
You wouldn't let me. Hold on.
No, the computer knows what's up.
We're going to try. We're going to try for a third time. Fuck it. Ash and I.
It literally broke up. It really doesn't want him to do it.
Jeff, you and Ryan.
He's doing it on purpose.
You can't do that on purpose.
I can't make.
He can't do that on purpose. He can't.
I know.
It's a clear glitch.
I guess we're going to have to close the show.
Guess we're going to have to.
That's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on your podcast app, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
Dadgum.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Saturdays Without Football Donkeys.
Well, good night, Houdan Nation.